Hello, welcome to our program on careers. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. I would like to begin today with an article which appeared in the Arizona Republic on the 10th of September. Worries about job market increase. Michael S. Derby wrote this article for Reuters. New York Fed survey shows downgraded views. Americans grew notably less sanguine about the job market in August and downgraded views of their current financial situations, a report from the New York Fed Reserve Bank showed on September 8th. The regional Fed Bank survey of consumer expectations also found essentially stable expectations for future price pressures. The survey conducted over the course of August flagged a sharp rise in respondents who said finding a new job would be harder if they became unemployed. The expected probability of finding new work in such an event among respondents was 44.9%, the lowest level in the survey since June of 2013, and down from 50.7% in July. Expectations that the unemployment rate will be higher in the future rose, as did expectations of future job loss, the probability of which stood at 14.5% of respondents, above the 12-month average of 14%. Survey respondents also said that they marked down the probability of leaving a job voluntarily. The troubled outlook for hiring is another sign of challenges in the job market. Government data released over the past 2 months have shown a notable deceleration in the rate of job growth amid big downturn revisions to previous months' numbers. On September 5th of this year, the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported that non-farm payrolls rose by a modest 22,000 jobs after increasing by 75,000 in July. The unemployment rate ticked up slightly to 4.3%, which itself was a four-year high. The data also showed that in June of this year, the economy lost jobs, something that had not happened in 4.5 years. The worsening outlook for hiring is helping buttress the outlook for a Fed rate cut. The U.S. Central Bank is widely expected to lower its short-term benchmark interest rate by 0.25 percentage point to the 4% to 4.25% range at the end of its September 16th to 17th meeting. Fed officials worry that President Donald Trump's trade tariffs could further boost already stubborn levels of inflation. But they are also increasingly anxious that the job market is running into trouble, and that is becoming the main focus of monetary policy today. I've been clear that I think we should be cutting at the next meeting, Fed Governor Christopher Waller said in an interview with CNBC last week. You want to get ahead of having the labor market go down, because usually when the labor market does turn bad, it turns bad fast. The New York Fed survey also found respondents have downgraded their current financial situations, although it added that respondents' year-ahead expectations about their households' financial situations became more dispersed in August. Relative to July, a larger share of households are expecting a worse financial situation, and an equally larger share of households are expecting a better financial situation in 1 year from now, it said. The next article that I would like to read for you is from the Wall Street Journal, the 2nd of September. This article was written for the Wall Street Journal by Conrad Putzier and Rachel Wolf. Overall, unemployment is low, but hiring has shrunk to a trickle. The title of this article is Slowing Job Market Hits Black Americans First. Unemployment in the U.S. remains historically low at 4.2%, Yet, black workers today are living in a different reality. Unemployment for black Americans has surged to 7.2%, the highest level since October of 2021, when the job market was still recovering from the pandemic. The drop in employment is a warning sign for the labor market and threatens to unravel employment gains made by black workers during and after the pandemic. Seasonally adjusted unemployment is up significantly for college-educated and non-college-educated black workers. This does coincide with a general slowdown in the labor market that has locked many workers out of the job market for months now. Black workers especially have borne the brunt of that downturn, however, according to economists, in a reflection of entrenched racial disparities. Black workers today are more likely to hold low-skilled and junior-level jobs than their white counterparts do, making them more vulnerable to layoffs. They have long faced discrimination in the labor market that can become more pronounced when overall hiring slows, as it has in recent months. Also, a recent increase in unemployment among black college graduates points to the possible impact of federal job cuts. The federal workforce has a disproportionate share of black workers today. "I am in the fight of my life right now," said Kana Jenkins, who is 52 years of age and has been working actively looking for work since being laid off from her job as a contractor for the Department of Health and Human Services in December. Jenkins, who has a master's degree in human services and public health, had to leave her apartment in Maryland as a result and move in with relatives in New Jersey. Overall unemployment remains low, but with hiring slowed to a trickle, it is a labor market with little margin for error. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell recently indicated that the job market has cooled enough to potentially justify interest rate cuts in September. Historically, black workers often lose jobs at the front of a broader labor market slowdown. It's a canary in the coal mine, so to speak, for what may be coming, said Kenneth Couch, an economist at the University of Connecticut. The Labor Department is set to release August's unemployment rate on Friday. The previous report showed employers added relatively few jobs in May, June, and July. Kirsten Bradford, 29, has struggled to replace the full-time communications job at a Dallas nonprofit that she lost back in January. She said hundreds of applications for an array of jobs have yielded only scattered interviews and no hits. She has been driving around Dallas, stopping at dozens of bank branches to shake hands and hand out her resume, hoping to break into a banking career. The only job she has been able to land yet is helping customers pick out body sprays and bath bombs at a local Bath and Body Works, where she earns $14 an hour. She also has continued working for the nonprofit for 20 hours a month. Bradford and her son, who is 8, recently moved back in with her parents, and she has been fielding calls from collectors on her roughly $100,000 in student debt. "Thinking I did everything right, thinking that every movement I made was for the future, just kind of makes me feel so angry," said Bradford, who has a master's degree in management from Southern Methodist University. In 2023, the share of black workers who were unemployed fell to 4.8%, the lowest level since the labor market began tracking such data back in 1972. The gap between black and white unemployment shrank to the narrowest on record that year. That was 1972, and black workers for years saw higher wage gains. labor shortages meant people could more easily find work, while some companies tried harder to diversify their workforce in the wake of demonstrations following the murder of George Floyd by police back in 2020. The Trump administration recently said that it expects the federal workforce to shrink by 300,000 by December of this year compared with January of this year. Yvonne Robertson said she was one of around two dozen people of color in a General Services Administration invoice auditing department who lost their jobs in March. She said she is still being paid while lawsuits play out in court, but she also is hunting for a replacement job she expects she will need. It has been challenging, the 56-year-old said. I'm looking at my competition, said Robertson. I have 2 years of college. There are a lot of people who have master's degrees. The next article that I would like to read for you today is from the Wall Street Journal, the 9th of September. This article was written for the journal by Justin Layhart. Health sector is a job market bright spot. America's labor market has slowed markedly in recent months. If it weren't for job gains in the health services sector, it would barely be growing at all. Health services, which include health care and social assistance, have long been an engine of U.S. job growth, bolstering the labor market through thick and through thin. But amid a general weakening in the labor market today, the danger is that the sector does not have enough gasoline in the tank to keep driving employment forward. Impending Medicaid cuts, for example, could severely slow it down. What is more, the sector might turn out to not be providing as much oomph to job growth as the official data now are showing. Last Friday's job report reinforced the trend, painting a picture of a sharply slowing labor market, with health services one of the few relatively bright spots in it. Indeed, absent gains in health services employment in August, the private sector would have shed jobs last month. So far in 2025, the economy has added an average of about 74,000 private sector jobs a month, according to the Labor Department, which is a step down from last year's average gain of about 130,000 jobs. Take away the roughly 64,000 jobs that health services have added each month, though, and the remainder of the private sector has been contributing only about 9,400 jobs a month. Both health care and social assistance tend to add jobs steadily, even in economic downturns, and the health care needs of an aging population have contributed to the sector's underlying growth. The same goes for the closely related social assistance sector. A bit more than half of its 5.2 million jobs now are in services such as home care for the elderly and the disabled. Big sector. All told, there are 23.5 million health services jobs in the U.S. today, or about one out of six private sector jobs. That compares with 12.7 million manufacturing jobs and 15.6 million jobs at retailers. Only the professional and business services sectors, a catch-all category that includes everything from lawyers to security guards to telemarketers, comes close, with 22.5 million employees. Health services workers earn about $36 per hour on the average, putting them in the middle of the pack today when it comes to U.S. wages. But there is a huge amount of variance, with the sector including everyone from six-figure surgeons to home health aides just barely getting by. The steadiness of employment in health services is part of its attraction for many workers. This was especially the case in the years after the 2008 and 2009 financial crisis, when the sector kept adding jobs even as employment elsewhere was faltering. The pandemic, though, was different. From February of 2020 to April of 2020, health services shed nearly 2.3 million jobs. And then, as lockdowns began to lift, recovery was achingly slow, which was a reflection of a variety of factors. Many Americans deferred non-essential care, burned out nurses quit the field, and lower-wage health services workers decamped for rising wages in retail stores or in restaurants. Outside health services, private employment returned to its pre-pandemic level by March of 2022, but employment in health services did not recover until October of that year. Growth trend. And even then, it was well below the level one would have expected based on the sector's growth trend over the two decades before the pandemic. As a result, demand for health services workers was still high, and the sector kept powering the labor market even as growth elsewhere was cooling. But over the past year, the number of health jobs has risen above its pre-pandemic level trend, raising the question of how many jobs it can keep adding. Indeed, there is some concern today that Labor Department data might be overstating strength in the two sectors and will be revised lower. Goldman Sachs economists note that data from payroll processor ADP shows that the private health services and education sectors have actually been shedding jobs this year, even though the Labor Department figures show continued growth. ADP does not break out health services separately from education. Still, the Goldman economists suspect that the ADP data might be itself overstating any weakness. Employment counts from large healthcare companies and views from our healthcare sector analysts suggest that the truth might be somewhere in the middle, they wrote. Cuts to government health spending could also weigh in on hiring. As a result of President Trump's policy law signed in July, Medicaid spending will be reduced by $911 billion over the 10 fiscal years ending in 2034, according to an analysis of Congressional Budget Office estimates conducted by health research nonprofit KFF. Those cuts are heavily backloaded. In fiscal 2026, which starts on October 1st, they amount to $17 billion versus $165 billion in 2034. Businesses that are heavily reliant on Medicaid spending, including hospitals and nursing homes, might be leery of increasing their payrolls. And the ranks of the uninsured could swell in relatively short order. The CBO estimates that by fiscal 2027, there will be 5 million fewer people with health insurance relative to its estimates before Trump's new mega law. Immigration restrictions also can reduce the supply of available workers. In 2023, about 18% of people in healthcare occupations were foreign-born, according to the Census Bureau, slightly higher than the 17% for other occupations. Still, even if the growth in health services jobs does start to slow down, the sector is unlikely to start shedding workers. There are now about 64 million people 65 or older in the U.S. In just 5 years, the CBO estimates there will be 8 million more. The next article that I would like to read for you today is from the Wall Street Journal, the 30th of August. Your boss doesn't have time to talk to you. This article was written for the Wall Street Journal by Chip Cutter and Lindsay Ellis. Amazon wants bigger teams. Bank of America is flattening. Corporate America is shedding managers, and the workplace is changing radically. Need a minute with your boss? Good luck. Managers are overseeing more people as companies, large and small, gut layers of middle managers in the name of cutting bloat and creating nimbler yet larger teams. Bosses who survived the cuts now oversee roughly triple the people they did almost a decade ago, according to data from research and advisory firm Gartner. There was one manager for every five employees in 2017. That median ratio increased to one manager for every 15 employees by 2023, and it appears to be growing even further today, Gartner says. Google recently said it had cut 35,000 of its managers, 35%, pardon me, of its managers, of small teams following a restructuring. Amazon, one of U.S.'s largest employers today, told investors earlier this year that it is working to increase the ratio of employees to managers. Many other employers as well want to flatten hierarchies. Intel eliminated 50% of its management layers. Estee Lauder and dating app operator Match Group said they had cut about 20% of their managers. Citi, Bank of America, and United Parcel Service cut management tiers or supervisors in recent years as well. The result is that the workplace is changing radically as the relationship between bosses and employees undergoes a dramatic shift. Harried managers today need new strategies to run ever larger teams and to keep up with an ever-expanding list of duties. Many employees say they need to chalk up their accomplishments because the boss is too busy to notice, and they have just a few minutes to do it. And both sides agree only high-performing self-starters will thrive. If you hire Michael Jordan, they don't need the same level of attention day-to-day as a rookie, says Josh Isner, president of Axon Enterprise, a Scottsdale, Arizona security equipment company that cut hundreds of managers earlier this year. The small fiefdoms Axon managers used to lead an average of four people for every supervisor were, he says, borderline offensive. Employing fewer people, especially fewer managers, is viewed among boards of directors and investors as a sign of a company's strength. Indeed, many companies cutting managers are not in a position of weakness. Instead, they see eliminating potential bureaucracy as a way to ensure organizations stay nimble. Managers, meanwhile, say they worry they're unable to guide employees, let alone stand in as a career coach, mentor, or productivity nudge. There isn't time. Want career guidance? Talk with a more senior peer. It's a pretty big recipe for disaster, though, which I think is completely self-imposed, says Beth Steinberg, a longtime human services executive in the technology industry, who has been hearing from overburdened workers and managers across Silicon Valley in recent months. One manager she knows now oversees about 20 people. They cannot spend the time with their employees. They cannot help develop their employees, she says. Really, the only thing they can do is push the work forward. Pharmaceutical and agricultural giant Bayer has slashed its number of managers, cut rules and processes, and granted far more autonomy to workers over the past 2 years. Two dozen people now report to Marketing Vice President Lisa Perez in a team that ranges from assistant brand managers to marketing directors for such products as One A Day, Aleve, Midol, and Bayer Aspirin. She no longer reviews most expense reports. An artificial intelligence tool handles routine approvals. When Perez, who often works out of Bayer's offices in New Jersey, meets with her team, she says, she tries to act as an advisor, not as someone who must sign off on each step on a project. Instead of scheduling lots of one-on-ones each week, she now blocks a period on her calendar every Friday for coaching hours. Employees can come to her for career advice, help on business problems they're looking to solve, or something else. If we don't get it right as leaders, we'll be the roadblock, she says. This is a fundamental change in the role of a manager. Back in the 1950s, the father of modern management theory, Peter Drucker, chronicled the dawn of an era where managers set objectives, motivated the workers, and helped to develop them as professionals. Expectations of managers only grew over time. Bosses weren't just supervisors anymore, but leaders meant to build trust, inspire their employees, and give them a sense of purpose. Then, over the past decade or so, employees looked to managers for even more. Bosses touted themselves as servant leaders, guiding a company through collaboration and humility, and creating an environment where younger employees felt comfortable to be their true selves. Many millennials expected the boss to know their birth dates and to make time to hear a recap of their weekend. The delayering of corporate America has happened swiftly. Across U.S. public companies, the number of managers dropped 6% over the past 3 years, according to employment data provider Live Data Technologies. Now, many workers feel less engaged because they often don't hear from their manager, says Johnny C. Taylor, Jr., who is head of the Human Resources Professional Association, SHRM. A recent Gallup survey showed less than half of employees said that they know what is expected of them at work, down from 56% at the start of 2020. I am struggling. Managing bigger teams is a skill that many bosses are struggling to master. Eric Jesnack, a manager for a health regulator in Vancouver, British Columbia, started his role in April with 8 direct reports. Now he has 11. He began with weekly one-on-ones for some team members, and he is shifting those meetings to every other week or monthly to make his workload more manageable. I'm struggling to keep on top of everything, the 35-year-old says. I'm trying to save my own bandwidth. Jesnack keeps a running task list using Microsoft's Sticky Notes app, divided into his 3 sub-teams in his own projects. He sometimes loses track of what he needs to do, to approve spending, for example, but colleagues chase him down. He often wakes up by 4:30 a.m., thinking about work. I generally feel a consistent state of inadequacy. If employees once expected their boss to know their kids' names or whether or not they like Taylor Swift, some bosses say they may no longer be able to offer such a personal touch. As teams have grown and shifted, managers can no longer serve every role, many say. Axon has suggested Mondays as the day for one-on-one meetings with employees, so managers there of larger teams can set expectations for the week and then spend the rest of their time trying to meet those goals. Axon is aiming for a ratio of 7 employees for every one manager, but Isner's there said that he would be happy to see even bigger teams across the company in coming years. I want to keep pushing the envelope, Isner says. The worst thing that happens is we hire a few more managers, but the best thing that happens is we pick up a ton of speed and give people a lot of autonomy. This is all we have time for on our program on careers for today. I hope that you've enjoyed listening in and will enjoy the rest of your day, and thank you for listening to me. I'm Irene Lubin. I'm a volunteer reader, and you're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona.